thankful to be here. Gather with God's people, experiencing this victory and reigning. And as we think about it, I think about how the Spirit of God leads and how everything comes together. So I covet your prayers, and as I deliver the thought that the Lord has put on my heart, that it would be effective and it would find a place for all of us. As I stand here, I'm preaching this word, but it's to me also.
Yes.
I'd like you to turn to the song 509. I was thinking, Brother Travis is going to preach the message for us today. It says, in 509, the fourth verse, it says, "Dear saints, let us bow to each other."
Yes.
It says, "I will help, I will comfort and pray.
Yes, Lord.
I will stand by your side and defend you in this battle you're facing today."
Lord.
And I was thinking about it. We are in a battle. Each one of us is in some type of battle.
Yes.
And we need each other.
Yes.
We need each other. And I want you to know that little things have an impact.
Yes.
Little things have an impact. And what I come today is to provoke you to some love and to some good works.
Yes.
Because they have an impact. We're battling for souls. And so
yes.
Turn with me to Hebrews 10 and verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering.
Yes.
For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as we see the day approaching." This journey was never meant to be a solo journey. But we see so many souls today, they feel as if they are going through this life alone. In a time of so much connectedness, people have so many friends on Facebook, and they have followers on Instagram, and they have contacts of hundreds of people, and yet people are feeling all alone. And I was thinking about it doesn't have to be that way. It was not intended to be that way. The scripture says, "Forsaking not the assembly of yourselves together," coming together as community, coming together as family, coming together. And this morning I want to provoke you as a brother in Christ, provoke you to love and good works. And like I said, little things go a long way. The sister was testifying over here. She said, "The church is my family. This is my faith family." She said, "I feel that love." And I want us to make sure that we get our love over to the people of this world. It says we are the salt of the earth. And as the salt, we want to bring that flavor and the seasoning to this world as people are going through that. This experience in life does not have to be a dry, boring experience. We can be reigning as princes and kings in this life.
Yes, Lord.
And I want us to think about the good works.
Yeah.
Good works, they don't have to be anything grand or great. I want to share something with you. I was in college back in the 80s. And when you go, and back when I was in school, you go to the mailbox and you would just hope that you had something in there. It could be anything. You just wanted to be something from somebody that you knew. And so one day I went and I opened up the box and there was a little card about this size. It was just a small little card. And I opened it up and it was a letter from a sister, Sister Worley. And she had written a little note of encouragement to be encouraged while you're away at college. And she put $5 in that card. You know how long ago that was? That was probably 40 years ago. But I still remember that because you know what? I needed some encouragement. I needed, I probably needed $5 too. But I thought about that. It's just a little thing. It's just a little thing that can help us go our way. And so I want you to think about, how are we reaching the people that are out there that need to be reached? If we are not seasoning salt in people's life, who is going to do that? The world is not in a position to stand by us. This world is going to betray us at any given time. And that's the thing about it. I want to encourage you. Thank you, brother. I want to encourage you to be active in the service of the Lord. We're battling for souls. We live in what is called an attention economy. And the devil is doing everything he can to distract us from doing the things that he's called us to do. Yes. And I want you to think about, what is my work for the Lord? Am I doing the good works that the Lord has called me to do?
Right.
Am I doing what God has called me to do? I believe every person in here has been called to do a work for God.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe everyone has been called to do a work for God.
Yes.
My question, are you doing what God has called you to do? See, he didn't call all of us to do the same thing.
That's true.
He called each of us to do something different. Are you on your post of duty?
Right.
Are you doing what you are supposed to do? You know people I will never encounter.
Right.
I know people you won't encounter.
Right.
Am I putting the salt and the light in the lives of those around me the way God has called me to do?
Yeah.
And I want us to all just think about it. Am I caught up in myself? That I don't know and don't understand what's going on around me.
Yes.
So turn with me to James 2. James 2, and I'm going to start at verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?"
Amen.
And when I read that, I think about what this brother is writing here. It's like, if you see a person, they have need, and you tell them, oh, go be clothed and warmed and filled with food. What good is that? That is a hollow. That is what the world is offering people. That is what the world is offering. Something that he said, that is just hollow. And I think about it. It says, what doth it profit? People look to us because they have needs. No doubt you get phone calls, you get text, emails. And I'm thinking, how do we fill the voids that are in people's lives with the things that they actually need? This says, if we just tell them, depart in peace, I'll be praying for you. Now, we should offer prayers to people, but sometimes it's more than an offer of prayer.
That's right.
Because you know what? To some people, that starts to feel hollow to them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a need, and you say, I'll be praying for you, brother. Well, no, I need you to come over here and help me fix this thing that's broken.
Right.
I need you to make a donation. I need you to reach out. I need you to sit by my bed. I need you to send me some encouraging touches. I need you to be there. Don't just say, oh, you'll be all right. The Lord's going to bless you. You know, that is true.
Right.
But in some cases, it needs some action.
Right.
It needs some action. What I'm saying is, am I putting in the action that I need to put in to do the things that God has called me to do?
Right.
Are you on your godly mission?
Yeah.
Are you distracted off, consumed with whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking about? Are you on a mission for God?
Lord,
are you on a mission for God, or are you on a mission for yourself? This morning in our Sunday school lesson, we said, lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge God, right? And he would direct our paths. Are you on a path? Are you on your godly path, your godly mission today? Again, I want to provoke you to make sure you're on your godly path and your godly mission today, doing the things that God has called you to do. The Lord impressed me on me one time. He said, if somebody is in need today, can I send them your way? Can I send them to you? If somebody needs encouragement, if somebody needs uplifting, if somebody needs $5, $10, $100, can I send them to you today? Whatever, if a person is in need, can God send them in your path today? Will you be open? It says in verse 17, even so, if it has not worked, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Yes.
And when I read that, I'm challenged. It says, I will show you my faith by my works. See, this world is full of talk.
Right.
But when does the action come? Where does the love come? Where does the sacrifice come? Where does the giving come? And I think about, okay, Lord, do I need a sign that says I'm a Christian Or will people know that by my works? I'm just asking. Some people say, well, somebody said, well, I didn't know. I was like, well, you shouldn't have to wear a sign. Somebody should see by the fruit of your life. Right? They should see the fruit of your life should produce the fruit that people can experience.
Right.
I often think a tree does not produce fruit for itself.
Right. That's true.
Does it?
No.
It produces fruit for others, right? So when we live as Christians on my Christian mission, I should be producing fruit that other people can benefit from, right? So we stand, I'm thinking, Lord, help me that I can do the good works that God has called me to do. I'm a person, and I'll just confess this, I tell people, do your own good deeds, right? Some people will be like, Brother Tavis, so-and-so, they need some help with such-and-such. It's like, if I know that, then how am I going to try to pawn that off on Brother Tavis or Brother Cameron? Brother Cameron, they need their tire changed over. No. Do your own good deeds, right? Because sometimes people will come to you with a good idea on something. It's like, you need to do your, if God has called you to do that, then you need to be the person doing that.
Yeah.
Don't try to pawn off something, because you know what? This is a trick of our enemy.
Right.
He wants us to be so busy that we don't have time for ourselves or other people.
Yes.
That's the whole strategy. I'm so busy, I can't take care of my own soul. And I'm so busy, I can't reach out and be salt in somebody's life.
Right.
We need to be salt in other people's lives.
Yes.
You think if you're cooking something, if you don't put any salt in it, it's just going to be bland. It's going to be flavorless. Is that how we are in other people's lives? We're just it's just bland. Our relationships with other people, are they just bland and flavorless? Or our relationships with other people, are they rich and vibrant and it has some substance to it? The thing about it is, when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, he could have spent his time on the mountaintop, right? He could have just gone up there but that's not what his calling was. Where was Jesus found? When y'all think about it, Jesus was dealing with the people.
Right.
He was dealing with the people. He was in and out of society, place to place. He was with the poor people, the rich people, the outcasts of society. He was with all kinds of people. And I think, well, Kevin, that's what you're going to have to do too. I just can't be, can I just be right here in the chapel and be saved and sanctified in the chapel? I'm going to have to be saved and sanctified when I go where? Outside of the chapel, when I go to my job. Do they know I'm salty at my job? What about at Walmart when the people not treating you right and the line is long and all that? Are they going to see something? What are they going to see? What are they going to experience? I think about the other day, Teresa dropped me off at the airport. I was running in to grab something. And I went in and the lady said, that right there is only for Uber and Uber and Lyft pickup. And I just said, okay. And I just walked by her. I was so rude to that lady. I was on the phone. And the Lord said, excuse me, Kevin, you need to go back and fix that. So I said, okay, I'm going to fix it, Lord. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to go back. When I went outside, guess what? The lady wasn't there. Oh, man. Now I had to start looking for her. I was like, where's that lady? So she was over here, and I went back, and I said, I apologize to her. I was like, I didn't mean to be rude. I didn't have to be rude, because you know what? I want to keep everything straight, and I want her to experience that. I have some salt in my life, right? I have some salt in my life, because you know what? The next thing you know, y'all, I'm going to run into that lady. I'm going to be like, oh, he a minister? Well, let me tell you what happened when I saw him, right? Oh, no. I'm like, no, I got to go back and fix that. And I went back and I told her, she said, I appreciate that. And I was thinking, Lord, well, that was my opportunity, right? I was like, I want to have the fiber, the character of Christ to go back and to be able to fix the things. I could have just like, she's not important. How do I know? Because y'all know what's going to happen. Either that lady's going to come to church, or I'm going to see her at a funeral or something, and she's going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember you. Now, what do I want her to remember? I want her to remember that, hey, I have some moral fiber. I have some integrity. I'm a man of God. If we stand up and say, I'm a man of God, then people are going to expect certain things.
Right.
And I want us to be on our godly mission, doing the things that God has called us to do.
Right.
The first thing is faith. And the second thing is works. See, the thing about it is some people, think, well, I'm a good person. Well, it's not just going to be good deeds alone. Right. It's not just going to be good deeds alone. So turn with me to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9.
Yes.
It says, by grace are ye saved through faith,
right,
and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
And I think about that. Some people in this world, they believe that they are going to get in heaven because of their good works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be sufficient. God wants us to be saved, have faith, faith in him, faith to believe that he is our Lord and Savior, faith to follow him, and then he wants to see us working. See, faith and works, it goes together. It says, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. We are not going to good deed our way into heaven. Some people think, I'm a good person and I do good things. It's going to take more than that. We're going to have to submit to God's will in our life. We're going to have to live out his mission in our life. But this morning, I'm talking about leaning to our own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person, I got a lot of things that I want to do. And my wife is like, every good thing is not a God thing. I'm like, that's right. That's right. I have a mission I need to be on. I have a mission that I need to accomplish for the Lord. I have a race that I'm running.
Yeah.
And along that race is not just me finishing, but how am I supporting? How am I, if we need each other, brethren, does that just flow to me? Or is that supposed to flow through me also?
Yes.
Sister Lowe in our congregation, she shared something one time. She said, I don't want God's blessings to just get bottled up inside of me.
Right.
And that just be the end of it. And I thought about that. I want to be a conduit that God can use to bless all people. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. I'm like, Lord, use my talent to bless other people.
Yeah.
I want you to think about this. If you bought this for me as a gift, but you never gave it to me, what benefit would it have to me? So if you have a gift, it only becomes beneficial when you do what? Use it. You got to give it. You got to give it away. And I think, Lord, there's people sitting right in here that have been blessed and blessed with talents and gifts and different things.
Sure.
But you know what? They're holding them like this.
Lord bless.
They're just holding them. Are you using your life to spread the gospel of Jesus
Amen.
Christ?
Yes,
are you using your life to be salt and light in this world?
Yeah.
Are you using your life to accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish? When I look through and I read through the Bible, I think about lots of different things. And there's a scripture in Proverbs 11 and 30. I wanted to turn over to Proverbs 11 and 30. One of the things I love about the gospel, love about the Bible, is there's themes throughout the Bible. And as we look at these themes, we can think about what it means for us. In Proverbs 11 and 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The fruit of the righteous. Again, the fruit that I was talking about from that tree.
Right.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
The fruit of the righteous. See, that's talking about people. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Yes.
You know what that means? That other people can come to me and they can get something that can sustain them.
Right.
Because I'm planted in Christ, that they can get some of the fruit of Christ through me.
Yes.
Right? That they can experience Christ. How are people going to experience Christ if not through his people?
Yes.
When people meet my son Jackson, they be like, oh yeah, you just like your dad, right? So when people experience me, I want them to say, you just like Jesus.
Yes.
You just like God.
Yes.
You're a person that's full of love. What are people, I don't want, if my son would be out there, they'd be like, who's your father? Kevin Feet. They're like, you're nothing like him. That's not, wait a minute, right? So when people experience us, they should experience what?
Yes.
Christ-like.
Yes.
The Spirit of God working through us.
Yes.
That's what they should experience. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Yes.
In your family, in your community, at your job, at your place of commerce, you should be a tree of life.
Yes.
You know what? Because what other trees are out there? There's a tree of death. And you can see it out there. They're planted all around, and people are just consuming things that are destroying them.
Yes.
Consuming things that are just destroying them. Consuming the tree of death is out there.
Right.
You know what it says? The wages of sin is death.
Yes.
So there's a sin tree out there, and if you eat that fruit of sin, it's death.
Yes.
It's just death. I don't know another way to say it. When I read through the Bible and it says, the wages of sin is death. Oh, I was like, I don't want anything to do with that.
Amen.
Okay, first of all, I don't like to work. I'll just put that out there. I'm not a person that likes to work. So you're going to tell me I'm going to work, and then my reward is going to be death? No, thank you. I got to get another where I can work, and then the end of that's going to be eternal life.
Amen.
I'm just saying, I had to decide which path I was going to get on, because if I'm going to work, I need the reward. I'll just be plain about it. We're going to work. If I'm going to work for anybody, I'm going to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I committed? Am I going to use my talents and time spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's what I've decided to do. I said, well, you know what, Lord? Does the Lord call me from one thing to another? I said, well, Lord, how can I behold your death and try to hold something back from you?
Right.
I can't hold back from the Lord. I have to live my life in service. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, that's all I'm trying to do is win some souls.
Yes.
And you know what? I've been praying, Lord, I need to be wiser. I need to have more wisdom. And what do we talk about this morning in Sunday school? If any man lack wisdom, ask who? Ask God. And he's just going to give me a tiny little bit. He's going to give me what?
Liberally.
Oh, well, that's what I need. That's what I've been wanting. Like, Lord, I want to be able to win souls. I want to be able to win souls for the Lord. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. And I'm thinking, Lord, increase my wisdom. How do I reach souls? What's the way to reach souls? How do I do that?
Yeah.
So you know God is so good. He just gives us examples. So today I was trying to get prepared. I was thinking, oh, what am I going to do? And you know what? A brother from Guthrie sent me a text. It says, think about the blessings of the Lord in your life and be filled with joy. And I text him back. Thanks, brother. I needed that. Right? It don't have to be anything grand. What I'm saying is we can pour into each other's lives in just tiny little ways. An encouraging word. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's a pat on the back. Whatever it is, we can do these different things. It says, he that winneth souls is wise. So I was talking to Brother Cameron Johnson. I was telling him, you know, I noticed what you've been doing. You seem like you've been successful in your real estate career. I said, how do you do it? He said, after a purchase or a transaction, he said, I have a follow-up process. And I said, oh, okay. He said, I do follow-up calls and different things. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. So he doesn't just get the transaction, get the people's money, and then just go his way. He says he's vested in them. So he told me, he said he has a call, he has follow-up calls. And I was thinking, okay, so after people transact business with him, he calls them and thanks them and different things. You know how many times that brother said he has in his follow-up sequence? 10 touches. I said, 10 touches? 10 touches. I was thinking about me as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I encounter somebody, am I trying to put in 10 touches? I'm going to invite them to church one time, and if they don't come, well, I'm on to the... What? No. I was thinking, be not weary in well-doing. When that brother said 10 touches, I said, Lord, help us. How many touches do we have with the people that are right around us? How many touches do we have with our children? How many touches do we have with our neighbors? What about the kids who come to Sunday school or to Bible school? Do we have 10 touches planned out for them? I was like, 10 touches? Wow. I said, okay, Lord, there's some room for me to grow. 10 touches. When we think about it, are we reaching out? How many times are we reaching out to souls, encouraging them, saying, hey, we'd love to see you? How many times are we? And then you know what? You know how this brother Cameron is getting his business now? He said, word of mouth. I said, word of mouth? That's how do y'all think we're going to get people to come in here? You think it's going to be a billboard to get them to come in here?
No.
Think it's going to be word of mouth.
Yes. Yeah, right.
It's going to be word of mouth. How did Jesus spread? How was the gospel spread, it was word of mouth. Jesus would do something for people and he'd tell them, now don't tell nobody I did this. And what did those people do? They ran out and did what?
Everybody.
Told everybody. Yeah. They told everybody that they could.
Yeah.
Peter, they healed a man. He picked up his stuff and he went out leaping and shouting.
Yeah.
They said, what happened? It was like, in the name of Jesus, they was telling everybody.
Yeah.
I was thinking, are we telling everybody?
Yes,
are we telling everybody? I was talking to somebody at work and I was like, okay. Are we really telling everybody? I said, I didn't tell this person. I said, I felt kind of bad. I need to tell you. I'm a minister at this congregation over here, and I was talking to them. They said, well, maybe we'll come by one day. I think sometimes we think other people doing okay.
Right.
Or we think maybe people don't want what we have.
Yes.
But you know what? We have the real thing.
Yes.
Amen.
We shouldn't hold that back for people.
Amen.
I'm not a person that runs out and try to proselyze people, but if we open the door, I'm going to come through it.
Please,
with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I'm only trying to build God's kingdom. It says, he that when his souls is wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, Lord, help us. So turn with me over to Matthew 6. Well, actually, I'm going to read Matthew 6, then I'm going to go back to Matthew 5. So Matthew 6, it says, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven.
Right.
Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues,
right,
and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth. And thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Amen.
So I'm not saying go out and do a bunch of stuff so you can get a reputation. I'm not saying go out and do a bunch of things so people can brag about, oh, Brother Johnson, he's such a good brother. Oh, that's not what I'm telling you to do. What I'm saying is go out and, as the Lord leads you, guides you, and directs you, make sure that you're not holding back the salt of the gospel,
Amen.
That you're not holding back the things that God has equipped you, that you're not holding back your blessings and the benefits that you have,
yes,
and sharing with others. It says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Be discreet about the things that you do for God.
Right
here it says, and I think about this, it says, if you go and you blow the trumpet and get off, then you got your reward.
Amen.
You got your reward from the praise of men.
Yes.
But you know what? I'm dealing for something much more sophisticated
right.
than that. I'm trying to get to heaven.
Yes.
And you know what? The praises of men is not going to get me to heaven. I need to do my alms in secret. And it says, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is a thing I want to share with you. I knew a lady. She was an aunt. And she was living off of some checks that she would get from the government. And whenever you would go to her house, whatever she had in her house, she was going to try to give it to you. If she cooked something, she was going to try to bless you and give you some of it. And I think about that. I was like, here's this lady that's living on a government check. But you know what? What I've heard is, like, if people would have extra corn, they would bring and give her some. If they had extra whatever, they would give her some. And she would take the different things that people would give her, and she would turn into a meal or whatever and share it with other people. And I was thinking, is that how this thing works? So if God can trust you to bless you and you will bless others, guess what God's going to continue to do?
Yes.
He's going to bless you. So if you want to be blessed, then you need to be a blesser. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, I see these principles, how they work. What he's saying is, here is God is telling us, if you just follow me and do what I tell you to do, don't worry about it. I'll take care of all of those things.
Amen.
You know what I found? A person with a giving spirit always has something to give.
Yes.
Because you know what? If you think about this, if you hold both your fists like this, close. Can't, what's you say, brother? You can't get nothing in here. But if you got your hands open like that, you can give and you can receive, right? If you're just clutching on to what you have because it's mine and I need this and I'm focused on Kevin, then how much can the Lord really bless me? But if I open my hands out in giving, the Lord can just fill me and my hands. And I think about it. So one of the things about this is this is contrary to nature.
Right.
Some people are kind-hearted people, but what I'm talking about is the radical love of Jesus Christ
Amen.
That we're sharing with people. So go look up with me in Matthew 5 and 43. It says, "Ye have heard it been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, this is where it starts to get hard, right? This is the thing. Some people, if you give to me, I'll give to you, and it's just kind of this exchange. Jesus is coming to change the mind of all people. He's turning everything upside down. These people, they were an eye for an eye people.
Right.
They were a tooth for a tooth people. Right. And Jesus is saying, oh, I heard you say that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But Jesus says, no, you got to love everybody. But I say unto you, love your enemies. This radical love of Jesus Christ is, I'm not just going to be a salt and light to the people that I like and the people who are good to me. I have to be salt and light everywhere.
Yes.
Love your enemies. Yes. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you.
Mm.
Lord, help
Amen.
Us. Lord, I'm like, Lord, I have some room to go. Do good to them that hate you.
Yes.
And pray for them that despitefully use you.
Yes.
And persecute you.
Yes, Lord.
This is the thing. If you're praying for people, and I've tried this, and I want to tell you it works. If you're having problems with somebody, just be prayerful. Pray for them. Pray for them. Because you know what? That little thing that the devil's trying to plant inside of you so you'll hate them back, if you're praying for them, those two things cannot exist at the same time. That's what I learned. It's like praying and having a sincere concern for that person's soul, because I start to look past that person. Why would they treat me like this? Why would they do? What's missing? And Lord, help me to help them. What's my part in this? What can I do? And what I've learned is a sincere, honest prayer for that person does not give any space for resentment.
Amen.
It doesn't give any space for hurt feelings. It just drives all that other stuff out. That's why Jesus is giving them instructions. These are instructions to them and to us. It says, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others?
Yes.
Do not even the publican so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect."
Amen.
See, God loves all people. That's what he expects us to do. There's no us and them and we and they and all.
Right.
None of that. None of that. That doesn't exist. So Jesus is giving these people instructions.
Yes.
So when you think about it, the Lord convicted me. He said, you know what that funny feeling you have? He said, that's unforgiveness.
Mm.
So when you think about examining our lives and thinking about it, when I have that, see that person coming and I have a funny feeling about them, Lord, help me to forgive them.
Yes.
Help me to forgive him. Remember when he was talking to the disciples and they said, well, what about 7 times 7? See, they were trying to get into a transactional. So if you do it to me 7 times, I can forgive you 7 times. And number 8, then, no, Jesus said 7 times 70. Woo, that was just something completely different.
Right.
That was like, so you're going to be in a spirit of forgiveness.
Yes.
Right. So as people are doing these different things, Lord, help me forgive. Help me forgive. Jesus is dying on a cross.
Yes.
And he was doing what? For those who were despitefully using him.
Yes.
Hating him, slapping him. He said, Father, forgive him.
Yes.
See, Jesus didn't just talk about these principles. He lived them out. Yes. So he's on the cross. No doubt in his flesh, he's feeling a certain way.
Right.
These people are crucifying me. But in his spirit, what is he doing for those people? Praying for them. And what this does, it drives, there's no place for all those other feelings. Jesus was feeling some things on the cross, but what was he doing? He was in a place of prayer.
Right.
You know what? When he was on that cross, he asked one of his disciples to do what? Take care of my mother.
Yeah.
Say, woman, behold. You know, he will take care of you. On the cross, Jesus is taking care of people.
Right.
And I'll be having a bad day, and I'm thinking, well, people need to just leave me alone. Whoa. I'm just going to be salty on my good days. I'm going to be salty on my bad days too. I don't have to be the salt of the earth.
Right.
I mean, that salt and light. I'm going to have to do good. It's not based on, Is it just based on feeling? Because if it is, it's not. This is a principle. These are ways of life. And I was thinking, Lord, how do I provoke to love and good works? Mm-hmm. We have to see examples. Jesus left us some examples here. Jesus left examples. Turn with me to John 6, and I'll start at verse 1. John 6. I'm not going to start at verse 1. Well, I will. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So it's about 5,000 plus people here. How much is it going to cost to feed 5,000 people? It's going to take thousands and thousands of dollars to feed all these people. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many?"
Right.
When I think about us today, maybe you just have 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Maybe you don't have a lot. You're thinking, well, how can I show this radical love? I don't have a lot. But this lad, he gave what he had. Five. I was thinking 5 and 2. 5 loaves and 2 fish. But you know what? He was willing to give it in the service of Jesus. He was willing to give it in the service of others. And I think about us, it doesn't have to be a lot.
Right.
I think the devil tries to get us to think, well, I can't do this big thing over here, and I can't do this. All he did was share what he had with other people.
Amen.
You know what he could have said is, I don't know what y'all going to do, but I packed my lunch. I got 5 loaves and 2 fish, and I'm going to go over here, and y'all going to have to figure that out. But he was willing to do what? He was willing to give. And I think about us, it's the willingness to give and to share. So whatever you have, maybe you don't have a lot, but will you give what you have to the Lord? This is the thing. If you give your life, that might be enough. If you give your heart, that might be enough. Because then if you can grow into a fruit, into a tree that produces these fruit of righteousness, how would that benefit? Because sometimes people don't need your money. They need your time. They need your ear. They might need your hands. They might need your feet. They might need your car. Right? That whatever. You know what? The Lord will bless and bless and bless and bless. Because if that's what's in your heart, the Lord will give you. He'll equip you for every good work. He'll equip you for every good work.
Amen.
Right? He did for Joseph. Right? He equipped him for his good work.
Right.
So he was taking, David was taking food to his brothers. But when he got there, he also had a sling. He had a sling, and then he went, and he got some 5 smooth stones, and he went in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, think about it. That's the most important thing. Are we going in the name of the Lord?
Amen.
Or am I just trying to do a bunch of good deeds? Or am I going in the name of the Lord?
Yeah.
Because when I look through the Bible, when people were going in the name of the Lord, he equipped them with everything that they needed to do what he had called them to do.
That's true.
What has the Lord called you to do? What has the Lord called you to do? What is the love and the good works that the Lord has called you to do? And this is the thing. Nobody can do my good work.
That's true.
Nobody can do what God has called me to do.
Right.
If I don't do it, it may go undone. And I think, Lord, have mercy. Do I want God's work to go undone because I wasn't willing to give my 5 loaves and my 2 fish? Am I willing to give what I have to the kingdom of God? He says, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was as much grass in that place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples.
Yeah.
And the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as many as they would. Verse 12 says, when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And when I think about that, I am provoked to do what God has called me to do.
Yeah.
Because you do not know the impact of what can be done
right. By
you being willing
Amen.
To give your 5 barley loaves and your 2 fish, whatever that means for you. This impacted that when that young man had his 5 loaves and 2 fish, he didn't think, I'm going to impact 5,000 people today.
No.
But you know what? You could do something that might impact 2 people, 20 people, 200 people, 2,000 people. Do you know? You do not know. This young man had no idea.
That's true.
God, Jesus took what he had and gave thanks. And he blessed. And they took up 12 baskets of the 5 fragments of the barley loaves. I want to encourage you today to think about, what is the Lord calling you to do?
Yes.
And are you doing it? The first thing is to get saved. Present your body a living sacrifice. That's the first thing you need to give, is your heart.
Yes.
Give your heart to God and then let him work and move in your life.
Yes.
I'm afraid that some people will not see God's face in peace because they decided to hold back.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of giving, say, Lord, I will give you my life. I had to make an exchange, just like everyone will, a life for a life. Christ gave his life for me. Would I be willing to give him mine? It's a life for a life. Because if I hold on to my life, lean to my own understanding, and live my life in sin, the wages of that is death. But if I give my life to Christ, become a tree that can produce the fruit of righteousness, then there's an eternal promise in heaven that I can go to heaven and I can be fruitful in this life, and then the life to come, it'll just go from one thing to the next.
Right.
I want you to think about it and consider. The devil, back in the garden, it's the story of mankind, as he got them distracted, and then they did what they wanted to do. God had given Adam a mission. I'm sure he shared it with Eve, and they had one thing that they were supposed to do, is to obey God.
Right.
Don't eat of this tree. But they decided that they were going to do what they wanted to do.
Yes.
And then, once they did it, they started to blame game.
Yeah.
Well, the woman, and I'm the woman you gave me.
Man.
See, excuses.
Right.
Why didn't you do what you were supposed to do? The woman. And then the woman was like, well, the serpent.
Yeah.
And I think about it. The good works that I'm supposed to do today, am I going to try to find an excuse on why I didn't do it?
Right.
Well, if Teresa had done this, or if this had happened, do y'all think any of that's going to work with God? Do you think he's going to accept my excuses? If he didn't accept Adam's excuse, do you think he's going to accept mine?
Amen.
I mean, so when you think about it, God is righteous. He's going to judge. And if he wouldn't excuse Adam, he's not going to excuse me with my excuses.
Right.
I want to encourage you, faith, repent of your sins, be born again, then works.
Yes.
God didn't just save us to sit in a corner to ourselves.
Yes.
He saved us to be the salt and the
yes.
light, to be strong, fruitful trees that produce fruit of the Spirit that will bless other people.
Yes.
As I share this message with you, I am challenging myself. It's 10 touches? Or am I become weary and well-doing? I was like, Lord, I'm going to have to increase what I'm doing. and it's not for me, but I want to win souls.
Yes.
I don't want any soul to perish because God sent them my way, and I didn't give them what they needed. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. Let us all be faithful in living out our mission for God. Thank you for your time and attention. May God bless us all.
Yes, Lord.